Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Powerful giant slayers in the Bible. Okay, the first giant slayer in the Bible is Moses. All right, there's strong indication that Abraham slew giants and slew the Anakim in the war with the kings in Genesis chapter 14. However, the specific reference that is given to show us that Moses was a giant slayer. Let's go to the book of Joshua and let us see what giants Moses slew. All right, we're going to Joshua, dear saints of God. And let us go to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. Oh, glory to God. And we are looking at Joshua chapter 13, and I will just read verse 12. And all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants. Oh, my. For these did Moses smite and cast them out. Did you notice the language that is being used to cast out the giants? Say this with me. I find that spiritually synonymous with casting out spirits. So that we need to understand when you're dealing with a giant, you're dealing also with demonic power. Are you understanding this? This is the language of the Hebrew scriptures that is also adopted in the New Testament. When you yarosh, you cast that spirit out. Are you hearing me? All right. So now we understand Moses. So what's the secret? Moses' secret of being a giant slayer. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7, that Moses died at 120 years old. Say this with me. Moses died at 120 years old. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for spiritual and supernatural secrets in the Word of God? Okay, where else have we heard the term 120? Isn't it affected? Isn't it prophetically paralleled to the upper room? 120, we're in the upper room. 120, prophetically parallel Pentecost. Are you hearing this? All right. Moses represents the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to cast out every demonic spirit and bring your giant down. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, I cannot slay my giant without the power of God. Right, the second giant slayer, and the second giant slayer was the giant slayer of all time. And this is Joshua. And how old was Joshua when he slew giants? He was 80. I said, let's go over here. I said, Joshua was 80 when he slew giants. All right, beloved saints, God had already reduced man's age. It had already been done that man would live 70 years, and anything after 70 years is a blessing. Are you hearing me? Some of us are on overtime. Are you hearing me? Okay? But God's extended our lives. Oh, somebody ought to give God the praise and the glory. All right. What does Joshua represent? Joshua represents that you don't slay a giant by your physical strength. You don't slay a giant by anything in the natural. You slay the giant by yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing God's power to work through you to slay that giant. All right? Joshua was a man whose complete identity is immersed in the anointing. Go with me to Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. The Bible says, in Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, Joshua's identity is an identity of a man in whom is the Spirit of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want that identity. To be a person in whom is the Spirit of God. All right, notice Moses' identity, 120, like the upper room. Notice, because he died at 120 years old. Notice Joshua's identity is also the anointing. Joshua's description here in Numbers 27, verse 18, the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. And the Bible says, a man in whom is the Spirit. Put your hands up right now and say, I want to be that person that is anointed by the Spirit, because I've got to bring that giant down. Oh, glory to God. All right. Then we also see the third person. Let me give you the reference of Joshua's incredible nonstop record of driving out giants, cutting them off. Joshua, go with me to Joshua, and we're looking at Joshua chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 21 so we can see the tremendous power of God miraculously manifested through Joshua. The Bible says, at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains. Now watch this, not just from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, from the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly in their cities. Now watch this. And there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. That means he cut them all off. But watch this. Only in certain places were they left. They were only left in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod, there remained. Okay, these are Philistine cities. Okay, so these are cities of the Philistines. And then in the time of David, where do the giants come from? Where was Goliath? Goliath of Gath was a Philistine, wasn't he? So this means that the generation following Joshua did not fulfill what they were called to do. They should have finished out all of the work that God had already called Joshua to finish. It was now the next generation responsibility to cut it off. But instead, they invented a new normal. I don't know about you, but I don't want there to be a new normal in this new generation that changes the way Christianity and the power of God is to be that we have always had. I hope somebody's hearing me today. We cannot settle for compromise as the new normal. And that's exactly what happened in the time of the judges. In the time of the judges, when they prayed and said, Lord, who will go up for us? Who will take the place of Joshua? And the Lord said, Judah will go up first, for I have already given, past tense, the land into his hand. And when Judah went up, the Bible articulates in Judges chapter 1 a miraculous momentum of victory. Judah has victory in all of the Canaanite cities. He has victory everywhere. Until. Turn to your neighbor and say, let there never be an until in your life. Oh, hallelujah, unless you're waiting on God. Let there never be an until unless you're waiting on God. Because an until means an interruption. Something stopped it. And what began to happen in the leadership then went down. This is why Samuel, who is the author of the book of Judges, begins to tell us that a new normal began to take place. Some people say, what does a new normal mean? Okay, a new normal, it's actually a term. Okay, it's a term used oftentimes in the corporate world, in the business world. The new normal is a word that is used when there is a crisis and a plan or a procedure, a plan, something that's been set in motion, an emergency of some sort, or something interrupts that consistency. And so as soon as the crisis is over, rather than going back to the way it was, the new normal now becomes the way that the thing has been adjusted in the crisis, such as during COVID. COVID, we already knew, we already warned God's people and said, we're going to get, the body of Christ is going to get adjusted. The whole purpose of this COVID, one of them, was to make the body of Christ so immune from going into the presence of God that the new normal would be that they would no longer continue in the things of God. It has taken the body of Christ years since COVID, at least 2 years, to get back into service to God, and some never recovered what they used to have before COVID. Hello, somebody, I'm speaking the truth. Because a new normal came on. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. The leadership, Judah, accepted the new normal. When he saw the chariots of iron, he did not drive them out. And as a result, when Joshua already said to the children of Manasseh, you can drive them out, they didn't want to drive them out either. So that we see that Judah, who had the authority to drive them out, refused to drive them out. Are you hearing me? And the new normal adapted throughout Israel. All of the tribes, instead of driving out the chariots of iron and instead of utterly taking authority over the Canaanites, instead they put them to the tribute. Are you with me? Put your hands up and say, I'm not going to put the enemy to the tribute. I'm going to put him out. Come on, I'm putting out the enemy out of my land. I'm not going to put him to the tribute. Oh, my goodness. Oh, glory. So Joshua, in his power, he took out the giants. And then we see the third giant slayer is Caleb, or Caleb. Sit with me. Caleb. Okay, Caleb was a tremendous giant slayer. And we see Caleb's strength because Caleb gives testimony as to the power of God. Caleb is given an inheritance in the land of Canaan in Hebron, where there are Anakims. And he doesn't care at all that there's Anakims in the land because he's ready to drive them out at 84 years old. Hello, somebody. I said Caleb is ready to take those giants out at 84. Oh, glory. And the Bible tells us that the Bible says, hallelujah, in verse 10, and now behold, this is Caleb speaking, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. In other words, since he's not 45. He is meaning 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and 5 years into the conquering of Canaan, which makes him 85. The Bible says, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. So he's saying 45 years since the day that God commanded the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And now, lo, I am 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day when Moses sent me. What does he mean, when Moses sent me? When Moses sent him as one of the spies into the land, his strength remained the same because he walked by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, I'm as strong this day as I was when Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even is my strength now, both for war, to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. It's the mountain where the Anakim are. Are you with me? The Bible says, now give me this mountain The Lord spoke, there whereof the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Do you notice that Caleb is not depending on himself? He's depending on his relationship with the Lord. Are you hearing me? I said he's depending on his relationship with the Lord. If the Lord be with me, I'll be able to drive them out. Oh, glory to God. Your giant has to come out, and it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on your relationship with the Lord. Are you hearing this? 100% dependence on God. Notice, when Joshua and Caleb came back, they said, if the Lord delight in us. If the Lord delight in us. These enemies that they saw in the promised land, they're going to be bread for us. If you remember, the whole reason the spies did not want to go up and take Canaan is because they saw the giants. Are you hearing me? Turn to your neighbor and say, no giant is going to stop me from getting to my destiny. Come on. No giant is going to stop me from getting to my destiny. Oh, glory to God. I hope you're hearing this, saints. Let's look at that found in Numbers. I want you to go with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And I want us to look at verses 32 and 33. This is the evil report that the 10 spies... Now remember, 12 spies went up into the land. Two came back with the report of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, whose report do you believe? Oh my goodness. All right. The Lord tells us here in verse 32 that the other 10 spies brought up an evil report on the land. And they brought up an evil report of the land by which they went to search unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Can you imagine? What do you mean? What a lie. They have no evidence for that. It's their fear that's dictating. It's the psychological warfare that they fell under when they saw the giants. Put your hands up right now and say, no psychological warfare. The enemy will not intimidate me. I will not respond with intimidation. I will respond with greater determination to do God's will. Are you with me? Say this with me. A giant intimidates. This is one of the names of the race of the giants. One of the names was the Amims. Say it with me, the Amims. The Amims are taught to us in Deuteronomy chapter 2. The Amims, translated from English, the English version or the Hebrew version to English, means terrorizers. So what does it mean? They were terrorized when they saw them. And this is one of the reasons why we can't slay our giant. Because we look at that giant and we become intimidated. And we allow intimidation to stop us. Intimidation by how hard it is, or intimidation by how long it's going to take, or intimidation by how hard we have to work, or intimidation by who's with us and who's not with us. Say this with me, I won't get intimidated over who's with me and who's not with me. I won't get intimidated over how hard the thing may be for me to do in the natural. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I won't get intimidated over who's with me or who stands with me or who doesn't stand with me. Hallelujah. The giant is coming down. Somebody ought to give God the praise. Oh, glory to God. And so the Amims, they were that species of giants that were intimidators. They were terrorizers. Then the Zamzumims, they were in the land of the Ammonites, Deuteronomy chapter 2 teaches. And the Zamzumim is taken from the root or just the word Zamum. Zamzum, actually. Zamzum, which means to utter or it means to whisper something. You see, these are the words, the imaginations, the thoughts, the wicked, ungodly agreements, the thoughts and imaginations that are not of God, the words that are spoken that can stop, that can intimidate us to such a point that we can say, I don't think I can go on anymore. This is just really a strong battle. But I want you to know that the Bible tells us that David said, the Lord has delivered me, hallelujah, and he has become my fortress, my rock, my strong tower. And so we see here in Numbers chapter 13, looking at verse 32, continuing, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, that is a pure lie. And all the people we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which is come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you lose your sight, hallelujah, if you lose your sight, dear child of God, first of all, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. But so often our sight dictates to us how we see a thing. And so we have to, as God's people, be empowered and not look at what we see. Because they are now confessing their own defeat. Put your hands up right now and say, I'm going to be like David. I'm going to tell the giant what I'm going to do to that giant. All right, are you with me? And this is why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because they refused to go up and take the giants down. But notice it wasn't them. If you go back to Deuteronomy 9, God said, I will destroy them from before you, and you shall drive them out. So God was going to bring them down, and the children of Israel had to just drive them out. Say this with me. God is going to bring my giant down. And then I'm going to drive it out. So that's why our walk with God has to be a walk that is always doing what is pleasing in his sight. Having a heart that is pure before God, without strife, without evil speaking one against another. Are you with me, saints? All right, let's go just for a moment and see some of the other forms of giants. Let's go for just a moment. We saw the four giant slayers, and these four giant slayers were Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and of course David. We're going to speak on David for just a moment. First of all, beloved saints, I want us to see certain destiny-defying giants. Now, we saw earlier the Zamzumim, which were giants in the land of Ammon. Then we heard of the Amim, who were giants in the land of the Moabites. Then we heard of the Nephilim, the strongest, a race of giants, which means, their name in Hebrew means the fallen ones. And it is taken from the Hebrew root, nafal, which means to fall. We've already established the fact that the destiny of your giant is to fall before you. We've already seen that. All right, so we already covered a tremendous amount of material concerning the giants. But there are also other species of giants, and there are other characteristics of giants that are shown to us in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want us to go to 2 Samuel chapter 21 so that we might be able to see four destiny-defying spirits, four destiny-defying giants. Are you ready to take the giants down? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us look at 2 Samuel. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel, beloved. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And in 2 Samuel chapter 21, we are going to see four Philistine giants. Notice they're Philistine now. They're reduced down to Philistines. Four Philistine giants. Bible says in verse 15, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ish-benibov, oh my, Ish-benibov, which was of the sons of the giants, whose weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He was girded with a new sword, and he thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, that's David's nephew, who was also his right-hand man, along with his other nephew, Joab. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And the Bible says, then the men of David swore unto him, saying, you will no more go out to the battle, for thou shalt not quench the light of Israel. You're not going out into battle anymore. This is the end of David's life, toward the end of his life. And they said, God is showing us you can't do this anymore. All right, so now we are seeing in verse 18. The Bible says, and it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines in Gob. The word Gob is very important, because where the battle with this giant is taking place is this word Gob in Hebrew is a word that means cistern. It also means pit. So we are going to see that giants want to keep you in your pit. There are certain giants assigned to keep you in the pit so you won't come out. But in the name of Jesus, you're going to get yourself up. I don't care what you've been through. Tonight you ought to say, I'm getting myself up. Tonight, I'm getting myself together. I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to do something that's going to prove that I'm not in this pit anymore. I'm taking my sling and I'm about to sling it toward the giant that wants to keep me stuck in this place of pain. Are you hearing me? The battle is in Gob. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm coming out of this pit. This giant's not keeping me here. And the Bible says, then Sibbechai, the Hushite, slew Saph. Okay, the name of the giant, his name is Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. Okay. Saph gives us an insight to another type of giant. The name Saph is taken from the Hebrew word Sapha. And we need to understand that Saph represents tempestuous storms. The name of this word, Sapha, is actually a word in Hebrew which refers to tremendous storms in our life or storms that come our way. So the Bible wants you to know that if you have been placed in an unusual storm, suddenly it came upon you. Suddenly the enemy decided to put you in a place where you are now going to be fighting against winds, against tempestuous winds, like Paul when he was on in Acts chapter 27 on the ship in a storm called Euroclidon. Some of you are fighting a Euroclidon giant that wants to come and sink your ship, that wants to make you shipwrecked, that wants everything that you have to go over the ship. But you ought to say tonight, that giant is coming down. Come on. That giant is coming down. Okay. So Sibbecai the Hushite slew Saph, which was of the giant. Let's look at another giant. Oh, my goodness. Oh, glory to God. And again, there was a battle in Gob, the Bible says, with the Philistine, where Elhanan, the son of Yair Origim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. Okay. The brother of Goliath. I want you to see Goliath's name. Goliath's name represents a specific type of giant. A specific type of giant that's hidden in the name of that giant. Because you and I need to understand, when the Bible gives us the names of the giants, it shows us the supernatural secret of what those giants want to do. When you know those names in Hebrew. Are you hearing me? So the name Goliath is taken from the Hebrew word Golah. Golah is a word that is used for exile. Do you know what exile is? Exile is when you're taken out of your land and brought to another land. You're brought to a strange land and you become a captive. The very first thing that Goliath wants to do is make you a captive. Do you understand? He wants to make you a captive that you are no longer in your land. He wants to pull you out of your land and bring you to a place that's not your destiny. But you need to say, I'm not settling for this tonight. In the name of Jesus, no Goliath is going to defy my destiny. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, no one's taking my land from me. There, this message will continue. I said, this message will continue. Oh, we can't get it all in one night. I said, this message will continue, and somebody ought to give God the praise and the glory.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.